All right, welcome back to another segment of Wake the Iron. I'm your host, Kason Pratt, and with me as usual is CJ, the Lion of Losanniville. And today, I'm a little bit, coming into this a little bit cold, and CJ said, hey, I got something interesting maybe to show you, and I let him talk about what we'll be talking about. So go ahead with that.
Yeah, so I was telling somebody about the money system, and I was like, man, you know, it's so crazy when you take out a loan or use your credit card that, like, that money just springs into existence and it wasn't actually given from any bank to you or whatever. And they're like, wait, what? And I was like, yeah. And it seems so crazy. But I was looking up stuff, and then I was like, you know what? I'm going to have a conversation with AI and see how they explain it. They, it, whatever, right? So I chatted, and then I have the whole chat saved. So I thought I would just kind of read through it with you.
Okay. All right. So this was, you had a conversation with AI regarding the money system, huh? Okay.
Yeah, specifically loans. Yeah, and maybe just feel free to interrupt anytime.
Okay.
To, and, you know, yeah, have a comment or question.
Just before we start that, when thinking about AI, we say it or him, or if it has a name or whatever. I understand that AI is, as in reference to what you're talking about, it's just a computer program. Right? There, mm-hmm. You know, there are people behind creating the program, but I understand it's not an entity, it's not a being, right? It's just a program. And it the program, you know, depending on, you can use AI that's like contained within like your computer, so it has maybe no access to the internet, and you can, you know, ask things and it might draw from just within your system or other systems that are accessing any kind of information that could be accessed, right? And analyze isn't the right word because it's just a program. So if we use terms like he said, or I'm talking for myself, when we're talking about AI, we know it's not like a living entity, right? So just someone coming in might be like, oh, you know, why do they say that? That's all I wanted to be clear about. But I don't really know anything about what you discussed with it or whatever. See, even the word discussed is more like human interaction, but it's just, I don't know what vernacular to use. But anyway, so this is going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah. All right. So I'll share the screen, so for those of you watching on whatever video platform, you can follow along, but you don't necessarily need it because I'll be reading it. Okay, so I said, when you sign a loan for a car, doesn't that money get created right then from your signature? It's not actually transferred from any bank reserves to the dealer or the seller. And it answered, great question. The reality of how car loans work behind the scenes involves a mix of finance and banking mechanics. It's not quite as simple as just signing and money appearing, but it's close to that idea in some ways. Here's the breakdown. One, loan approval and signing. When you sign a car loan, you're legally committing to repay the lender the amount of the loan plus interest. Two, money creation, not exactly from reserves. The lender doesn't necessarily take existing cash from the vault or from reserve accounts and hand it over. Instead, banks typically create the loan amount as a new deposit in your account or send it to the dealer. This is part of how modern banking works. Banks can create money, quote, out of thin air, end quote, by crediting your account with the loan amount. which then becomes the liability for the bank because you owe it back.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah, I know. It's like, we got to pause because there's a couple more paragraphs still in their answer.
Yeah, yeah. So let me preface this to the audience. If you aren't aware of CJ and I, CJ is extremely knowledgeable about this subject matter. And so he knows the kind of questions to ask, right? I'm not saying you know what to ask to get the response you're looking for, but since you understand these mechanics, right? Is that what the word it used? Banking mechanics?
Yeah.
Since CJ understands these mechanics, he already knows the answers to the question, but we're testing the AI system, right? This is a test of the AI system. So CJ's questions are very intuitive. He understands what's going on. And there you have it. I mean, we're taking what we're hearing here, at face value. I don't personally think, quote unquote, AI is always right or whatever. It's just giving us the information that's available from whatever it's drawing from, right?
Yeah.
So already, I think it's already enough proof that, you know, or at least like, whoa, wait a minute, hold the phone here, right?
Right, yeah. And I'm also testing it to see what it's going to divulge. Because if you ask like a real person at the bank, or you ask a politician, they're gonna, I don't know, have their perspective and filtered response and whatever, right? But the AI is supposed to like scour the internet and all of knowledge and give you the information, right? So I'm kind of testing like, oh, is it actually gonna say, admit how it works? Because I think I know how it works, right? But like the conventional politicians and bankers or media aren't really going to come out and say it. So is this going to come out and say it?
Right. Okay. All right. So sorry for the interruption, but that's good. Just a note on the visuals here. There's a lot of text. It's a little small. But if you're on a computer watching this episode, you know, it's all there so that you can verify CJ's not just like making it up or whatever. Yeah. Actually, that's helpful. Yeah, what you just did there.
Yeah, I just zoomed in just a little bit.
Yeah, that's helpful. So, okay.
Yeah, so on that point where it said banks can create money out of thin air by crediting your account with the amount, which I follow up with it in a second, but I'm like, okay. And then it says, which then becomes a liability for the bank. And I'm like, wait, how is it a liability? If they didn't give the money, it's just, you owe it to them. So, and we come back to that later, but
okay.
That all of a sudden they're like, wait, what do you mean liability?
Yeah. The word implies that the bank is on the hook for the amount.
Yeah. Like if you don't pay them back, then they're out that money, but they never gave it in the first place.
There wasn't any. From the reserves.
Right. Anyway, we can get to that later. Okay.
Okay.
Step three, the dealer gets paid. The loan funds are transferred to the car dealer, often electronically, to pay for the car. So the dealer gets the money. Four, bank's balance sheet changes. When the loan is created, the bank's assets increase by the loan amount because you owe them money. And their liabilities increase because they've created a deposit, money you could spend or that's transferred to the dealer. The actual reserves the bank holds with the central bank may or may not change immediately. Reserves come into play mostly for interbank settlements and regulatory requirements. Summary. So yes, the loan money is effectively created at the moment the loan is signed and approved, not moved from a pre-existing pot of cash. The bank creates a deposit representing the loan and then transfers that money to the dealer. Over time, you repay the loan, which effectively destroys that created money as the bank reduces the loan asset and the deposit liability. This is a core feature of how fractional reserve banking and money creation work in modern economies. If you want, I can explain the detailed flow with the bank's balance sheet changes or how central bank reserves factor in.
Okay, so let me find that one line there. So yes, the loan money is effectively created at the moment the loan is signed and approved. What was your original question? You said it's created when you sign.
Yeah. Yeah, I said when you sign a loan, doesn't that money get created right then from your signature and not transferred from any bank reserves?
And then it said it's not quite as simple as just signing and money appearing, but that's right. Literally exactly what happens.
Yes, exactly. That's right. Okay, so then my follow-up question is, sounds like a scam to me. The bank never actually paid out anything or loaned anything, right? And it said, it definitely sounds strange or even suspicious at first glance, especially when you hear money is just created. But it's not a scam. It's actually how modern banking and the economy function.
Okay, hold on. I got to pause right there. So these are two separate things, right? It's a scam is separate from this is how modern banking functions.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, yeah, I would agree that this is how modern banking functions. I agree 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It doesn't mean it's not a scam, though. So just because this is currently the way that it's done doesn't mean it's not a scam, right?
Well, yeah, and I guess that depends on your definition of scam. So, like,
correct.
If a scam is like an illegal blah, 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 then it's not a scam because it's legal because they wrote it into the law or statutes that this is what we're allowed to do. So, right, if they're allowed to do it, then technically maybe it's not a scam, but in the common understanding of the word scam, it's a scam.
In that instance, it would be, in my opinion, a legal scam.
Right, exactly. Like legal theft. You know, like theft is wrong. Oh, well, it's not theft if the government says it's okay. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Very interesting.
Yeah. So here's its answer. Here's why it's not a scam, even though it feels a bit like one. One, banks create money by lending. Banks don't just sit on piles of cash wanting to loan it out. Instead, they create the money through lending, which expands the money supply. This is called fractional reserve banking. The idea is that by lending, they're enabling people to spend and invest, which fuels economic growth. Two, it's not a contract, or it's a contract, not a gift. When the bank creates money, it's a legal contract that you'll pay it back with interest. This promise to repay is an asset to the bank and a liability for you. It's how banks make money, through the interest on the loans. However, this is my aside, it just said above that it was a liability for the bank. And right. Here it's saying it's a liability for you.
Right.
Which we talk about that later. Okay. Three, it enables economic activity. Blah, blah, blah. Skip that. Four, regulated system. Banks are heavily regulated. They also borrow, blah, blah, blah. Five, you still owe the money. The loan isn't free money. You have to pay it back. And the bank can repossess the car or take other actions if you don't. The money creation only happens temporarily and is reversed as loans are repaid. So while it might feel weird that money wasn't physically handed over or pulled from a bank vault, this creation process is a standard, legal, and essential part of how money and credit work in modern economies. If you want, I can also explain the potential risks or criticisms of this system that people talk about.
Yeah, we already know what those are. Okay, I just want to be very clear to anyone watching this, and we actually did We did an episode long ago on the Federal Reserve and touched on this a little bit. But anyone who might be listening to this or watching, if this is new information to you, like, what are these guys even talking about? I'm sorry to tell you, this is actually how the banking does work. And in the nuts and bolts, this is just really weird, but you need $10,000, you go to the bank. The bank literally punches in on a keyboard $10,000, which gets added to your bank just in the computer. And then you have to pay them $10,000 plus interest. So let's say at the life of the loan, it ends up being $15,000. So the bank punched in 15000. I'm sorry, they punched in 10000, and then you actually had to pay them $15,000 in the end. They didn't actually subtract any money from their ledger. Right? It was simply added to your bank account. And then you had to actually pay them with interest. If that's not a scam, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And the problem is most people don't realize that that's actually how it works. And I remember telling Papa, our grandpa, we were talking about silver, and he had some silver coins and stuff. And he listened to that, and he was like, well, that doesn't seem right. He was completely baffled, and I was this young kid, you know, and he always probably viewed me as a little toddler running around, even though I was an adult at that time.
Yeah.
And so I think he might have thought I was just confused about how it worked, you know, and he just could not grasp that would even be a thing.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's so fake. So, sorry. It's a really, really, really horrible system that we're in, and if someone's hearing this for the first time, they're like, that cannot be true. I'm sorry to tell you. You don't have to believe me. Find out for yourself. It's actually quite simple, and it's very, very horrible. And, yeah, we get screwed. So,
yeah,
I do agree with the AI that this is the AI, that this is actually how it... They say this is how modern banking works. And they talked about economic growth, too. Yeah, it can spur on, you know, spending... When you're adding numbers for other people and their bank account goes up, yeah, they're gonna probably spend that, right?
All right.
And then they have to pay you back. Okay, sorry about that, but
I just wanted to good. Clarify. Yeah, and there's an episode on awakethearing.com. CJ's rants on loans, credit, and currency. That's it's like between episode 27 and 28, and we can link it, but it's about 13 minutes. It's just like my little rant, which is kind of like this, mostly about credit cards, which work the same way. But yeah, watch that too, because I talk about that, like when you use your credit card at the store, how the store gets the money, but it didn't get sent from Chase Bank or whatever your credit card is. It just goes on the balance sheet of the merchant, and then you have to pay the credit card company back. It's ridiculous. But and by the way, there the AI, you know, is saying money. It's really not money, it's currency. But and that's kind of why this whole thing works this way, is there's no money anymore anyway that people are using. It's currency, so it's just IOUs being swapped back and forth and this whole mess. Okay, anyway. Okay, so the AI said, do you want me to explain, blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, Even if it's legal and how the system works, it definitely is not common sense. Most people assume if you borrow money from someone, they actually give it to you and their assets or ledger goes down. But when a bank creates money for a loan, they don't lose any money. So common sense says you shouldn't have to pay it back. And even if there was zero interest, they still make a profit because when you pay them back the full amount, because you pay them back the full amount, which they never lost in the first place.
Right. So yeah, so in my example of you borrow $10,000 and then pay interest, so you end up paying $15,000. Even if you paid them back $10,000,
yeah,
that you quote unquote borrowed, they just typed numbers in a keyboard and then you pay them $10,000.
Right.
That's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. So it's answer. You're absolutely right. The way banks create money through lending definitely goes against everyday common sense about borrowing and lending. It's one of those things that seems counterintuitive until you dig into how the whole system actually works. Here's why your observations make a lot of sense and why the system still functions that way.
Okay, I'm why dying to know.
Yeah, why it feels unfair or illogical. When you borrow from a friend, they do lose that money and their cash or assets decrease. When you borrow from a bank, the bank's ledger shows a new loan asset and a new deposit liability, but the bank's cash reserves don't immediately go down. So yes, the bank doesn't lose money up front, but rather creates the money that you then owe back.
That's what you were saying in the first place. That's
exactly what I was saying.
Yeah, okay.
Now it says, why you still have to pay it back? The loan is a legal obligation, a contract where you agree to repay the amount plus interest. The bank relies on that promise to be able to function and stay in business. Even if the bank created the money, your repayment reduces the bank's loan asset and the money supply correspondingly, so the money isn't free. Interest is their reward for risk, time, and opportunity cost, plus the cost of running the bank. Next, how the bank makes profit if they never lose money, never lost money. Because the bank created the money, you pay back more than they initially created. That extra is their profit. Side note, the whole thing is
the profit. The whole thing is the profit.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. The profit covers operational costs, risk of default, and rewards investors. Without interest, the bank would break even, but interest ensures sustainability. The bigger picture, money supply and economy. The bank's money creation is a feature designed to grow the economy, meaning more dollars are created every second of the day. The banks could only lend money. Oh, if banks could only lend money they already have, economic growth would slow dramatically. But this system also requires careful regulation to avoid too much debt and inflation, which are real risks.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
It says designed to grow the economy, making credit available for buying, investing, expanding businesses. I understand what it's saying, but it's not realistic.
Right.
So it's not real. It doesn't.
Yeah.
So all the growth and spending and banking, that whole industry, that whole aspect of the economy is not realistic. So it's a fake reflection of what's going on. And then you have problems like we have.
Yeah.
Economic right. problems. Why is everything so friggin' expensive and inflation is involved? This is all part of it. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's just ballooning out of hand.
Right. When it says grow the economy, they mean grow the currency supply, meaning there's just more numbers out there, numbers that we call dollars. Oh, so that's good because now there's more dollars and people can spend it and then it grows the economy. But yeah, that's why we have inflation always. It's always going up. Everything always goes up, like forever and ever and ever.
Right. Apparently. So in this system, inflation is forever. And it can only go up in this system. Yeah. So, and inflation is the easiest way to sum it up. When we're talking about dollars, it's the buying power of your dollar, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not so much like, oh, look how expensive stuff gets. It's that your dollars have less buying power. I don't know how else to put it. It's imagine, and I think I even used this clip before, the old like Huey, Dewey, and Louie. There's like a Scrooge McDuck cartoon where the little nephews get a hold of this like duplicator machine and start duplicating money.
Yeah.
Like coins. And they're like, this is awesome. We got all this money, but it like, they can't stop it. So there's coins everywhere. Like people are shoveling piles of coins out of the way, 'cause they can't even move their cars and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it's so horrible. Nobody of course wants any of it. They're trying to get rid of it. And, you know, it's a great lesson,
mm-hmm.
but in this system that will never stop and it'll always go up. And so they paint it like a bad thing, like, oh, economic growth would slow down. And I'm like, well, in some ways, yes, but it would at least be real. Like whatever it is what it is. Right.
Yeah. Right. If you and I were the only ones on an island and it was our own country and we each had, you know, our own, we had this currency. You had $100, we'll say dollars. You had $100 and I had $100. And that's all there was. And we're on this island country and just whatever, right? If that's all there was, then you had half of the money. I had half the money, right? Well, you have 100, I have 100. Somebody else shows up and creates $200 for themselves out of thin air. Now there's $400 in existence. Now me and you only have a quarter of the money supply instead of half. Okay, because I have 100, you have 100, they have 200. So they have half, you have a quarter, and I have a quarter. So me and you, all of a sudden, we have way less, even though we're still holding the same $100.
Right, right.
Yeah. That's basically what's happening constantly every day.
Right, but keep going, right? In your example, keep going and keep going. Someone else shows up, or not even someone else, someone just creates more and creates more, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I think people could, it's a simple way to understand how it can get out of hand. Unfortunately, that is exactly how it works, and that's really the sad part, but
right. And that's why, you know, $100 could buy you way more 100 years ago, right? And like, oh my gosh, a hamburger was only 5 cents and now it's $5. It's gotten more expensive. Like, no, it hasn't gotten more expensive. It's probably actually gotten cheaper and easier to make. It's just the dollar lost so much value because there's so many more of them going around. It takes way more to buy the same thing.
Well, and not to go down another trail, but just a quick mention to compound the issue is that once upon a time, other countries used dollars as their reserves in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you start devaluing the dollar, or, you know, just continue to do that, all of his countries that were backing their currencies with dollars are in real trouble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Back to Mr. AI. So their final thought now is, so your intuition is spot on. It is strange. It's a strange, not so common sense system, but it's how modern economies are designed to work. If you want, I can help explain alternative systems people propose or why this system creates problems like debt bubbles or financial crises. So that's interesting. But I'm wanting to stick with it. So I say, but what is the bank's actual risk if they never lost or gave any money in the first place? I understand the agreement for you to pay them, so if you don't, then they don't get what's promised. But nothing was lost in the first place. That's like saying, Sam agrees to pay Jeff $100, and Jeff agrees. But Sam doesn't pay them $100. Jeff doesn't lose anything, so there was no risk. And its answer is, this is a really insightful question. It cuts right to the heart of what risk means for banks in the loan creation process. Here's why the bank does face risk, even though they created the money on their books and didn't physically hand over existing cash. One, the bank's risk is credit risk. Risk of non-payment. When the bank creates the loan, it adds an asset to its balance sheet, the loan. The risk is that you fail to repay them. If you default, which is fail to pay, the loan asset loses value or becomes worthless. So the bank's balance sheet takes a hit. Oh, gosh.
What a load of crap. Okay.
Why is that a real loss? Even though the money was created in bookkeeping terms, the bank expected to get that money back, the principal plus the interest. If you don't pay, that expected inflow disappears. The bank's net worth or equity decreases, which can impact its operation, blah, 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 blah. The bank's money is still finite in practice. Okay, it's not as important. Your Sam and Jeff analogy has a key difference. If Sam agrees to pay Jeff $100 without Jeff giving anything, Jeff indeed faces no initial loss. But Jeff was expecting to receive $100. It's his asset. So if Sam doesn't pay, Jeff's expected gain disappears. For banks, the expected payment stream is a real asset. When it evaporates, the bank's financial position is harmed.
Okay, so I want to make a comment about this. Now, I am not an economist.
Mm-hmm.
I am not. But when they call it an asset, tell me if I'm wrong here, but so the bank's like value, the value of the bank as a business,
mm-hmm.
right, is calculated, I guess that's the word, quantified by what it's worth. What's this bank worth, right? Well, what mm-hmm. are its assets? And on the books are all these loans that they gave out in the manner we just explained, and they are owed that plus interest, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the value, to use your Sam and Jeff analogy, Jeff was the one lending the money, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the bank of Jeff loaned the money, but didn't actually, there was just a keystroke in a computer, right?
Yeah.
But Jeff values the bank of Jeff at $100 plus the interest, let's say $10,
mm-hmm.
right? So the bank of Jeff is worth $110. And then if somebody wanted to like invest in the bank of Jeff or buy stock in the bank of Jeff, the $110 value would be part of that, right? Like what it's worth, right?
Yeah.
And so am I wrong in saying that the AI is explaining that that is why it's a risk? Because if he doesn't get the money paid back, then he's in a pickle because he valued his bank at $110 and, you know, he only got 50 of it before the loan defaulted. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So is that essentially what the AI is trying to explain to us, you know, because
yeah.
we're so thick and we don't get it.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, side note, like, if you and I sign an agreement, if I say I'm going to give you $100, like, not borrowing or loan or anything, just I'm going to give you $100. And then I don't. Can you sue me and have the judge order me to give you $100?
Right.
I think so.
Really? If I didn't do anything for you, or...
I mean, if that's the agreement. If we both agree and I didn't hold up my end.
And it could be, like, proven that we both agreed.
Right. Like, if we said, like, I'm going to buy this bicycle from you for $100, give me the bike, I give you $100, and then you give me the bike and I don't give you the $100, right? That's also like, oh, didn't hold up my end of the bargain. But yeah,
there was something there.
Yeah.
There was a thing involved. Or a service.
Yeah.
If I fix your toilet, you say, I'll give you $100 to fix my toilet, and I do it, mm-hmm. but you don't pay me. Well, there was something else involved there.
Right. Yeah, so I'm wondering if...
If you tried to sue somebody because they said they were going to give you $100 and then you just didn't, I can't imagine. That's a good one. Maybe we'll ask AI.
Well, yeah. I'm going to write that down.
Okay.
Okay. Right.
This is also why it's important to understand, like, the terms. Like, what do you mean by asset? What do you mean by liability, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, let's continue. Banks also have regulatory capital and reserve requirements, blah, blah, blah. Okay, summary. The risk isn't about losing physical cash they gave out. It's about losing the expected repayment, an asset on their books, which can harm their health. This is why banks carefully assess borrowers' creditworthiness and charge interest. If you want, I can explain, blah, blah, blah. And then I said, I think it's perfectly clear that it's pretty much a scam. Not legally because they legalized it, but still. And it says, I totally get why it feels this way. The whole process can definitely seem like a setup where banks create money out of nowhere, charge you for it, and profit. And it's easy to see why that feels unfair. Here's the thing. A lot of people share your skepticism, and the modern banking system has been criticized for exactly those reasons. How money is created, who controls it, and how much power and profit banks hold. Many debates around this focus on transparency. Most people don't fully understand how this works, which makes it feel secretive or misleading. Fairness. Critics say it concentrates wealth and power in the hands of financial institutions. Debt dependency. The economy depends heavily on borrowing, which can trap individuals and societies into cycles of debt. Systemic risk, blah, blah, blah. At the same time, proponents argue economic growth, blah, blah, blah. Your feeling touches on a big ongoing debate about how to reform or rethink money and banking to be more equitable and understandable. If you want, I can share some alternative ideas people propose, like full reserve banking, public banking, or cryptocurrencies. Would you be interested? And then I had like another, that's basically it, because then I was a little bit curious, so I said, if we had a full reserve system, that wouldn't prevent banks from the money creation, correct? And they just went into this
That was basically it. That's very interesting. I wanted to clarify for anyone listening or watching that they don't know what fractional reserve banking means. Simply put, and correct me if I'm wrong, CJ, if I get this wrong, but basically there's a set percentage that banks are allowed to loan out based on what they actually have in reserve in the vault, right? So, and that has changed over the years. This actually makes it even worse. But So if it's 10%, if the fractional reserve rate is 10%, then the amount of money that you are allowed to loan out, which isn't really being subtracted from your vault, right? The amount of loans you're allowed to create with the computer strokes, right, has a limit to how much of that you can loan out based on what you have in the vault. And if it's 10%, right, you have to have 10% of the total amount of loans that you create. Is that right? In that example? Yeah. So if you have $1,000 in the vault, it's a silly example because banks would have more than that. But just to make it simple, if you have $1,000 in the vault, then you can create loans with this mechanism up to $10,000. Right? That would be how it works. Do you know what it actually is at the currently?
I think different banks are different. Some are as low as
1%? And I had even heard chatter that they were considering, because everything is so expensive and inflated, that they were considering zero.
Not surprising.
I know how anyone gets sold on the idea that that would help anything. Oh, it basically comes, in my opinion, from a gross misunderstanding of how this all works. And it's so crazy sounding that most people just think they don't quite understand it enough. So they're like, well, you can't just charge people for nothing, so that can't be right. I must be misunderstanding it. No, you're not stupid. It's stupid. Right? Wow. That is really interesting. Yeah, that's very, very interesting. Then that was ChatGPT. Okay. There's lots of different AI programs that you can play around with. I've done some digging as well a little bit on some of those, I don't know, sites. Or is that a program, or is that just like internet, you know?
You just go to chatgpt.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Very
Do you
interesting.
wanna do you want me to ask it that question? We're just gonna do.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so here I'll say, can I sue someone if we agree if we sign an agreement that they would give me $100 and then they didn't? Is that a good way to ask it?
Yeah, well, just try it. See what happens. We
Yeah.
can you can you
I
know
didn't really
ref
clar yeah, I didn't really
you can
clarify
rephrase the
like
question if you want. All right, so we're doing this in real time here. Oh, okay. So yes,
You
you
can sue
can.
someone if they breached an agreement, even something as small as $100. But whether it's worth it depends on several factors. You can sue if you had a valid contract, the other party promised to pay you. You fulfilled your part of the deal, or there were no conditions, and then they didn't pay as agreed. So no
Okay.
conditions, you know, like you were saying, fulfilled your part. Like, well, wait, I didn't provide a service, or I didn't loan it to them, or give them a product, or whatever. But it's saying, or there were no conditions.
Okay.
A contract generally requires offer and acceptance. Consideration, something of value exchanged. Okay, so if the agreement was something like, I will give you $100 if you mow my lawn, that's a valid, but if it's, I promise to give you $100 because you're nice, may not be enforceable. There's no consideration. Oh, okay.
Now, could it be argued? I guess it all depends on how it could all be presented. Like, if we're thinking like to a judge, right? I guess it would all depend. Like, I was oh, to use the bank's like asset example, I was really counting on you giving me that $100, and so I went and bought something on store credit or whatever, on account credit, and then you didn't pay me. It very, very much depends on like if we actually signed something or whatever. So now I have this like liability, right? That
right.
I actually owe, and I was counting on this, and now I can't.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let me ask it. What if I was really counting on that $100 and I bought something on credit, and now I'm out the money because that person never paid me as promised? That definitely makes the situation more serious and gives you a stronger legal basis, huh? You had a valid contract. Then yes, it's likely a breach of contract.
What's a valid contract, I guess, right? You would have to know. Just if I shout across the street to my neighbor, right? I'll give you $100.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay. And then he goes out and buys something and then you have to pay that. Yeah.
You relied on the promise of and suffered financial harm. You acted and relied and ended up financially harmed. Huh. In some contexts, this is called detrimental reliance or promissory estoppel. Courts may enforce a promise even if there wasn't a formal contract. As long as the promise was clear, you relied on it, and it would be unfair not to compensate you. Huh.
Wow, this is actually very interesting.
I know.
Huh.
Yeah, because I was thinking maybe if it said no, then I was like, well, the banks can do it, right? Like, if you don't pay them.
Yeah, and again, it doesn't make it right. In my opinion, doesn't make it morally right. But if it's accepted as quote unquote legal, then it kind of makes what the banks do. You know, it verifies that what the banks do is quote unquote legal, right? And all that could depend on how it's presented to, if we're talking about a judge, right? What is a legal contract? What's not? Well, shouting across the street to your neighbor, not a legal contract. Sorry. Doesn't matter if he promised you the moon, you know, or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of factors, but that's a very interesting. Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I would encourage people to you know, test the AI sometimes, you know, go try asking and just understand it's just a program. It is curious to me who is behind the program and who controls it and, you know, what their motivations are. If someone, I'm not saying this is true,
mm-hmm.
but if someone created a program like that and they had nefarious intentions, what, you know, where does that lead to? So that's what concerns me. Who holds the reins of the program, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the government has their finger in it, right?
Yeah.
Is that good? Is that bad? You know, we can think about that. And we did touch on those things when we did do an episode on AI. It was called "Is AI Good or Bad?" Right? We were just, is it good or bad?
Yeah.
And I think we touched on that. Depends on, you know, who's controlling it and what, you know, what their intentions are. If it's just for fun, you know, like making funny pictures, like, you know, what would a goat look like if it was crossed with a fish? Right? And you can, it'll show you a picture and it's funny. Okay. And it's just playful, but it's just a tool and it could be used for all kinds of things, I guess so.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was pretty cool. I appreciate you doing that, and we might have some more on that, on stuff like that, maybe some different topics or whatever, just to see. And I personally, I don't take anything that comes back from the AI programs as like, this is 100% the truth, and I'm going to hang on every word. It's just a program that draws from information. So if what it draws from has flaws, then the information could be flawed, right?
Yeah.
The program could be flawed. Maybe it's not showing everything that it could, just because the way that the program is. I don't know. Is it nefarious or not? I don't know. But so just exercise caution. But it's pretty interesting. Okay. Was that what you had? That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Looked like you went on and on a little longer with it.
Well, basically it said like, here's how a system could work with full reserve banking. So I was just curious, like, oh, instead of fractional reserve. And then that's basically it. And then it said, if you like, I can map out the differences on how loan creation would work. And I said, sure, show me. But then it was just kind of confusing, like, and my brain was done. So basically got all the answers that I wanted about the original thing. So,
yeah. Okay. Very good. Yeah. Appreciate you bringing that. Okay. Well, appreciate you guys. If you're watching or listening, appreciate your time. And we'll be doing a lot more here soon. And I'll just make sure you remember to always keep your powder dry. And we'll see ya.
Oh, here, you should see my shirt.
Chicken game. Don't look at the chicken game.
and it says, chicken game.
That's funny.
I've only worn it in public a couple times, and it's pretty funny. Like, you know, like somebody would stop me and be like, wait, let me... Oh man, you know, like,
that's funny.